pretty easy to find. It's the first book of the New Testament. And most of the time, if I'm preaching in a first book or a second book, I always tell the kids how to find it is go to the book before it. But Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. Again, I appreciate our young people being in here, and I encourage you to listen tonight and stay focused. And I promise you, you're not bothering me by no means, but I'm encouraged that you're here, and I want you to not think I'm skipping out on you tonight. We probably would have been in the same place tonight down there as we're going to be in here tonight, and this is something that we all deal with and we need to apply to our life. So you listen tonight, and I'll preach fast, and we'll go home. Matthew chapter number 3, obviously, Matthew chapter number 3 is Matthew's account, the beginning of the chapter, of the ministry of John the Baptist. Now, we know John the Baptist, you can go all the way back and talk about Elizabeth and how he leaped in her womb and all the stories of John the Baptist. But John the Baptist was a forerunner. He was a foreteller of Christ. We come here to John the Baptist's ministry, and more importantly, in verse number 13, is when Jesus was baptized. Now, I joke with the kids, and we're kind of learning in Sunday school why we are who we are. And I don't mean to say this ugly tonight. I'm not offended by any means if you're here tonight and you're visiting and you're not from a Baptist church, and it doesn't bother me at all, but somebody asked me, or asked Brother Dean McNeese at camp, he said, "Why are you the Baptist?" He said, "Well, Jesus' preacher was a Baptist. Why would I want to be anything different?" And I'm not sure that's a good reason, but it's a reason. So John the Baptist, he's the one that baptizes Jesus' body here in earthly. But verse number 13 of John chapter number 3, the Bible says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have no need to be baptized of thee. I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me." So John knew who he was. And you'll read in the other Gospels, John seen him, and God knew exactly who he was. And he said, "Hey, listen, I don't need to be baptizing you. You need to be baptizing me." But verse number 15, "And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him." Jesus, when he was baptized, he went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. Verse number 17, I'm going to pause right after this verse, but notice what our God and our Father says. "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now that's a voice coming from heaven. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We get to chapter number 4. There's another statement made here immediately after this, and this is again Matthew's account of the temptation of Jesus. Notice verse number 1. "Then was Jesus led up out of the up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he was afterwards in hunger. And when the tempter came to him and said," and notice this, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Verse number 5, "The devil taketh him up into a holy city, and sitteth him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he saith unto him, If," there it is again, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and their hands shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdom of the world, and all the glory of them. And he saith unto him, All of these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him." Now this is a preacher-packed two chapters here. In chapter number 4, it could very easily, Brother Kevin, be preached on simply, "Well, man, when he's tempted from Satan, he didn't come up with a great philosophy. He didn't come up with something new. He simply quoted the Word of God to Satan," and that'll work every single time. Say, "Brother Brandon, I'm battling something in my life." We ought to hide the Word of God in our heart so that we have an offense for the devil. "Hey, this is not my opinion, or I don't want to do this, or I may get in trouble." He simply quoted the very words of God, the very words of himself, and Satan was defeated. Tempted him 3 times there. You say, "Brother Brandon, I can't believe that Satan would tempt me in my life. I can't believe that he would mess with me." Can I assure you tonight, if he's going to mess with the Lord, he's definitely going to mess with us. You say, "Brother Brandon, I don't know why he won't leave me alone." Again, if he took a shot at the very Son of God, you can bet your money he's going to take a shot at you tonight. But there's a big contrast here, Brother Nikki, between chapter number 3 and chapter number 4. Two statements were made by two different voices. In Matthew chapter number 3, God himself, the voice from heaven, maketh the statement that Christ is my son. Verse number 17 says again, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. There is no question that he is the son of God. But in chapter number 4, Brother Mike, Satan makes a statement that brings doubt into our life. He didn't say is, he says if you are the son of God. You say, Brother Brandon, what has that got to do with anything tonight? I want to preach just for a second tonight. I want to give you some truths and a lot of scripture. We're going to go to the house, but on one of the greatest debates of our day. One of the greatest debates of our day. You say, Brother Brandon, how is this a debate? Can I tell you, this argument or these two statements are still being mentioned and still being active in our life, Brother Wayne, today. There's days in our life where we know that he is the Son of God, but there's sometimes in our life, including Brother Brandon's, that say, God, if you can do this, or if you're able, or if you are who you are, will you take care of this? And I know we have faults, and I know we're all fleshly, and I know for sure tonight that I am the least among you, but can I tell you, this battle of these two words, is and if, is still being battled today. Two very different statements that are still being made today. And can I tell you, by way of introduction, until we settle them in our heart, we will always live in conflict, confusion, and doubt. And there's never been a time, Brother Wayne, where I knew for sure and where I was where I needed to be, and I knew who God was and God is and God was something in my life that I ever had a problem. But it's when I'm lonely, Brother Harold, or when I'm alone, or when I'm going through something, and then all of a sudden that is changed to an if, and God, if you can do this, and God, if you're able to do this. Can I tell you, the Lord, the God Almighty, had it right in chapter number 3 when he said, this is my beloved son. But Satan very easily, and young people listen because it'll happen in your life. We're learning in Sunday school right now on avoiding confusion. We've went from the existence of God. We just finished, Brother Hoyt, the authority and the durability of the Word of God. But can I tell you, everything in our life and our world system today is designed to make you confused about what you believe. Not to make you just jump off ship and say, I'm no longer a Christian, but just to inject a little bit of confusion into your life and to where they can monitor or they can manipulate your life. And can I tell you again, as I said before a couple weeks ago, and I don't remember who said it, it wasn't my quote, but it's simply this, you know, I'm not teaching them these things on Sunday morning, and I'm not preaching tonight to try to give you ammunition that you can go convince someone who's lost or convince someone who doesn't believe in God that they need to believe exactly what you believe. You'll be battling that battle for the rest of your life. There's some people, you say, Brother Brandon, I'm going to win the argument. They don't believe in the Bible, but I'm going to prove to them that the Bible, and I encourage you to keep trying that, but don't be disheartened when someone doesn't just totally have their life take a turn, and all of a sudden, Brother Harold, they just totally give it all to God, and that's what we want. But don't be disheartened if that doesn't happen, because we study the Bible, and we study these two words not so that we can convince someone else, but so they cannot unconvince us. Does that make sense? Everybody, Brother Dalton, is not going to believe exactly what I believe, but I ought to be grounded enough to know that no matter what they say is going to change my mind from believing what I believe. Brother Mark says it like this, Brother Kevin, he preaches, he says, when I get done, you may not believe what I believe, but you're going to know I believe what I believe. And if somebody can talk us out of something, we are too easily persuaded. But I circled those two words tonight with the mic in my Bible. The verse 17, God says, he is my beloved son. But Satan wants to give no concrete evidence. He says, hey, if you are who you say you are. Satan knew he was who he said he was. But he says, hey, if you are who you say you are, then you need to do this. Prove it, basically. Can I tell you, God has to prove nothing to us to show us that he is God, because he is who he says he is. Brother Brandon, who is he tonight? Can you help me? I wrote down first of all tonight, number one, some things that he is in our life. And again, until we conquer this, we're not going to have peace. We're not going to have hope. We're not going to have a joyfulness in our Christianity. And by the way, any day you live without joy or victory is a day you've wasted being a Christian, because that's exactly what God designed you to live in after salvation. It is not defeat. Young people, it is not depression, it is not anxiety, it is not fear, though all of that is in part of our life. It is simply to know that he is God, and he is who he said he is. He is who John said he was, And he is, number one, he is the very Son of God. You say, Brother Brandon, obviously because the Lord God himself said, hey, hello, a voice from heaven came and said, this is my beloved Son. But can I tell you, Brother Kevin, I don't believe it just because verse number 17 is there. I've seen what he's done in my own life. And I know that he is the very Son of God. Luke says it like this, Luke chapter number 1, verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called, notice this, the Son of God. It was prophesied all the way through the Old Testament, even before his birth in the New Testament, that when he came, he was not just a priest, he was not just a teacher, he was not just a prophet, he was the very Son of God in earthly form. Say, Brother Brandon, I can't fathom that. How can he be God 100%? How can he be man 100%? How can we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost? And I don't have a perfect answer for that. The way that I explain it to the young people is simply this. I am a son to Keith and Melanie Jones. I am a husband to Christy Jones. I am a father to Malachi and to Josiah. I'm one person, but I have three different parts. And I'm not here tonight to try to teach you the Trinity and understand that, but understand this. Jesus Christ come, he was not just a good person. He was the very Son of God. John 3:16, Brother Matt testified about it Sunday, and we talked briefly about it before Sunday got here. And John 3:16, probably one of the most popular verses in all the Bible. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I'm not bashing again tonight. I understand that you may be here tonight, maybe your first time, and I have no clue what you're holding. But many, Brother Kevin, of the modern-day translations, and the reason we have a problem with that is they remove that word begotten. They just simply say the only Son of God. Can I tell you tonight, he was more than just a son. He was more than just, hey, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. David was chosen from a lineup of sons, even though Jesse had many others. There wasn't but one son that was the Son of God, and he gave his life for us. Brother Brandon, why is it so special? He was God himself. There was not multiple choice. He didn't search through heaven trying to find a sacrifice. There was one sacrifice, and that is God, the Son of God. He's not just a man upstairs. He's not just a man. He's not dude. He's not anything else that you may see. He is a holy Son of God tonight. He is the very Son of God. We ought to get that into our hearts. And Brother Seth, no matter who says differently, we ought to know, listen, I understand. I'm going to be respectful, be it a teacher, Hoyt, or whoever it may be in your life. You say, listen, I'm going to respect you, but I know without a shadow of a doubt, just as God proclaimed in John 3:17, that he is the Son of God. John chapter number 1, I remember quoting this vividly. I actually had to say this one time to be able to go on a youth trip. Y'all ought to be thankful. You said, Brother Brandon, we got to come 75% of the year to go on youth trips. I had to quote half the Bible growing up to go on youth trips. I wanted to go on a bungee jumping trip one time. I don't know why, but I had to memorize half of John. And I think I got sick and still didn't get to go on a bungee jumping trip. But it's okay that I learned half the book of John. I remember very vividly a couple years ago, Brother Brian had the idea, let's do a Christmas play and an Easter play. And by the way, I want you to learn the whole Sermon on the Mount. I said, I'll do it if I can do it. I said, can I get a teleprompter over here on a TV screen that I can look at? He said, no. He said, learn it. Man, I packed as much as I could in there. Man, I don't know. I spoke in tongue half the time, and I was trying to learn that thing. I was sitting here. Man, I was getting tired just reading it in the Bible. And so that night, I mean, I'm nervous. And I had my AirPod, which is sitting right down there in my ear, in case I got stuck. Somebody had a phone back there. I guess I'm blowing my cover. But I said, if I get stuck, I've recorded myself reading all of this, mash play, and don't mess up. Well, I practiced for 2 months with my wife doing that. She knew where I was. She knew what time to stop it. And then all of a sudden, for some reason, my child had to be born during the Christmas play. And my wife couldn't be here. I said, can you not be two places at one time? She said, no. I said, well, who's going to hold the phone? Carson said, I'll do it. I said, Lord. I said, if you get on ESPN while I'm doing this or checking ball games, and I give out the Pistons score during the play, I'm going to kill you. But we got through the first. I was wringing wet. I got through it, and he followed along. I said, do not pull up SportsCenter. Do not pull up ACC Network. I said, you stay on this voice memo. And he did. We got through it. I don't know where I was going with that. Oh, I do know, too, where I was going with that. I'm talking about the book of John. John chapter number 1, verse number 1. The Bible says, in the beginning the Word was God. Or in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. It's all one package. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse number 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. We're reading the same account. This came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, and all that the men through him might believe. He was not the light, but that it was sent to bear witness of that light. That, verse number 9, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and was the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to him gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now watch this. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse number 14 tonight is bolded in my text for this reason. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, Brother Brandon, what is this teaching us? All the way from the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. And everything about it all together. See, Brother Brandon, I don't understand it. I'm simply telling you tonight, you ought to know that he is the very Son of God. We're worshiping the Son of God. I'm thankful he was not just a prophet, a teacher, or a priest. There's been great preachers in my life that have done well, and I've let some down. And you say, Brother Brandon, have others let you down? Absolutely. But I've never been let down by a thrice holy God. And his Son, the Son of God, is the real thing. So when I read verse number 17, one of the things that he is to me, and he ought to be to all of us, is he is the very Son of God. I thought about number 2 quickly. Not only is he the Son of God tonight, but I know without a shadow of a doubt, he is the perfect and spotless sacrifice for our sin. There is nothing else, Brother Mike, that'll work for our sin. All the way back in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3 and verse 21, and young people, we looked about this the other week, but unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skin and clothe them. You read the beginning of your Bible, I understand we're not very far into the book of Genesis, and they've already messed things up. And again, if I was there, I'd have done the exact same thing, so I'm not throwing rocks tonight. But when they sinned, they immediately realized their nakedness, and they immediately went and tried to grab fig leaves and tried to grab something that was material-wise. And I could preach on that all night long. I'm not going to, but that's how a lot of different things started, and a lot of different things that we're dealing with today has been going all the way there. Man trying to handle things his way, man trying to run a service their way. But I'm telling you, God looked upon it, and he saw right through it, and something had to give its life in order for them to be covered. Brother Brandon, where did he get the animal skin from? Some animal, Brother Kevin, in the Garden of Eden. Now, I'm not arguing tonight whether it was a lamb or a lion or a sheep or whatever it was, but something had to have blood shed to cover them from that point on in their clothes. Fig leaves would not cut it. Something gave its life. Can I remind you tonight, sin requires a sacrifice. Brother Adrian Rogers says it like this. He says, your sin will either be pardoned by Christ or it'll be judged in hell. There's never been a sin committed that does not have to be covered by something. Now, you may be living here tonight and say, Brother Brandon, I don't know Christ as my Savior. I've never trusted him as my Savior. I'm covering my sins with myself. Can I tell you, you will go bankrupt trying to cover your sins. But the day that Jesus Christ comes into your life and that Lamb's blood is applied to your life, though sin is still wicked, though sin is still there, it is covered by something that will pay the debt. The choir sings, we owe the debt that we could not pay, and he paid a debt that he did not owe. But I'm thankful tonight, Brother Mike, that he paid the sacrifice. Something gave its life. It didn't stop with Cain. It didn't stop with Adam and Eve. It went on to their son, you know, very vividly, Cain and Abel. And though Cain meant well, he went and got the best fruits, no doubt, the best vegetables, the best corn, the best, I don't know what kind it was, parch or wheat, and he brought it to the Lord. And the Lord said, listen, this is not suitable. This is not the sacrifice, because he could go back and get more. He could go back and get another piece and do this. But Abel came. We know that he raised his brother. And we're not preaching on that tonight, but something had to give his life. And the Lord accepted that sacrifice because there's always had to be a sacrifice. None greater, nothing blesses my heart more than a picture. I think one of the greatest pictures of Christ in the book of Genesis is found in Genesis 22. Quickly tonight, and I don't want to paraphrase because it's too special. Verse number 1, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. He said, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mountains which I will tell thee of. It always broke my heart. I don't know how much time that was in between verse number 2 and verse number 3, but it says early in the morning. I think it probably was the next morning. You say, I don't believe that. Well, you read it however you want to believe, but you talk about a sleepless night for Abraham, knowing that he'd been praying for a son. God had promised him a son, and now God's going to require the son. I don't think he went to bed early. I don't think he went to bed with peace on his mind. I don't think he took a shower and laid down. More than likely, Isaac was sleeping and Abraham was pacing. Isaac was dreaming. Abraham was pacing because he knew, God, I don't know why you're going to require this of me, but there's got to be a sacrifice. There's got to be a bloodshed. And God, if you want him, verse number 3, and Abraham rose up early that morning and saddled his ass and took two young men with him, Isaac his son, and clave to the wood of the burnt offering and rose up and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they were both of them together. And Isaac spake unto his father. He's starting to notice what's going on, and this is where he gets hard as a daddy. Now Isaac spoke unto his father Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for burnt offering? Now this blesses me in two ways. At some point or another, he'd watched his daddy and made a sacrifice for sin. He knew the ingredients that had to be there. Could I tell you, our young people ought to know what it means for a mom and daddy to worship God. Say, Brother Brandon, now listen, it blessed my heart Sunday morning. The altar was full. And I know everybody can't come every Sunday morning, but I want my boys to know what it looks like, Brother Kevin, for their daddy to pray at an altar. I want them to know my testimony. I want them to know that I'm not ashamed to worship the Lord. But Isaac knew what had to be there for a sacrifice. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And it came to the place which God told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and he laid the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son, and he laid him upon the altar, upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, lo, lay thy hand not upon the lad, neither do thee anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Verse number 13, again bolded, it's my text verse tonight out of this passage and this point. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and he looked and beheld there was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and he offered him a burnt sacrifice instead of his son. You say, Brother Brandon, was that pretty special? I don't know of another day or another sacrifice that was more precious to Abraham. I don't think Abraham just nonchalantly went and got that ram. I believe he was weeping and praising the Lord and knowing that something had took the place of his son. It was going to cost his life. Can I tell you, the day that you were saved, you may not realize it, but it was you laying on that altar. It was me laying on that altar, and it was my life, and it wouldn't have been sufficient because it would have taken another lamb and another lamb and another lamb. But the day that the Lord himself provided a lamb, many preachers say it like this: as Abraham and Isaac was going up one side, there was a ram that left the flock and started going up the other side. Can I tell you, that day at Calvary, he made the difference. And whether you believe it or not, he is the perfect and sinless sacrifice. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 8, but God commended his love toward us in that we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's arguable that John 3:16, that the book of Romans and the Romans wrote is the greatest verses. But Brother Kevin, I don't know of a greater verse in the Bible than verse number chapter 5, verse number 8. Because young people look at me, listen, if you're waiting to get everything fixed in your life in order to get saved, you're never going to get saved. But when you realize that he died for you just as wicked as you are and wicked as I am right now, Brother Brandon, you don't have a clue what I did before I got here. You don't have a clue what I was listening to even in the gym playing ball before I came up here. Can I tell you, I'm not saying it doesn't matter, because it does matter, and we ought to put clean things in our life, and I'll preach that till I'm dying. Listen, we can cover all that later, but the main thing you need to realize is, I don't care what you're thinking right now, what's in your Google Drive, what's the last thing you looked at, what's the last thing you said, God can and will save you tonight just as you are. He'll take you just as you are. Brother Brandon, I don't believe that. I don't understand that. Can I tell you, he is the perfect sacrifice. Man, you ever been there before? And listen, I know when you get married, and some of you others getting married, and Miss Caitlin, you might be loaded, and you and Logan be billionaires. I don't know, but I'm just telling you this. There's been times, even now, I guess out of habit, I know there's money in the checking account, but when I put that card in that machine, I still watch for it to say approved. There's been some times I've been like, Lord, please, listen. We was at the banquet last year. Y'all were there serving food, and man, people kept coming in. So that's the problem having a free banquet. Not everybody RSVPs. I mean, people coming off the streets. That it was, I think they were just coming in to eat. They seen the people coming, and I'm starting counting green beans, and I grabbed Jonathan Richie. I said, hey, if the disciples can pray over 5 loaves and 2 fishes, let's get in a corner somewhere and pray that we don't run out of green beans and barbecue. We didn't. We ran out of green beans, but they ain't good anyway, so it don't matter. But the barbecue, we made it. There was a pig that gave his life. Malachi said at Easter, we cooked a whole pig. He said, hey, this pig was a sacrifice for many goods. And I said, that's right. He did. He gave his life for a greater good. Not quite like Christ, but almost the same picture, the pig and Christ. But he said, you know what, in this text, we learn that he is the perfect sacrifice. And I said that to say this. In our life, we can do everything that we can do. We can prepare. We can put back. We can come and not miss a service. Man, we can be everything that we are. We can be the most dedicated, the most faithfulness person in all of the church. But when you come to the end of your life, just like that ram would have been that day, you're going to come up short. You're going to come up short. Brother Brandon, I'm preparing for everything. I've got enough that I know for sure that I'll never run out of money. I've heard people say, I've got so much money that my grandkids won't even run out of money. Well, I don't have that problem, and neither does my grandparents. But I'm just saying, man, I'm set for life. We prepare all of our life. The Bible says, what profiteth a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his soul? Brother Brandon, I'm preparing for everything. Can I tell you one of the simplest things? You need to know that he is the very Son of God. But more important than that, Brother Seth, you need to know that he is the sinless, perfect sacrifice for your sins. Number three, quickly, not only is he that, and we're closing shortly, he is not only the very Son of God, he is not only the perfect, sinless sacrifice, but number three, and I'm thankful for this, and if you're on this list or your family is, you ought to be thankful as well, he is the great comforter. He is. John 3:17, the Bible, God didn't say, I think this is my son, or this is one of my sons. He said, this is my son. Satan messed it up and said, if you are, if you are, if you are. And I may not be Satan, and I'm not calling you Satan, but there have been plenty of days, Brother Hoyt, I said, if you can, if you will, if you are who you say you are, God, if you can do this, can I tell you, we need to live in verse number 17 and have some confidence that he is something in our life. He is the great comforter. John 14:26-27, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as this world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Can I tell you tonight, no matter where you are, and I could come in, there's not a church service in the world, Miss Jenny, you can't come in and preach a message on what you're dealing with in your life, because everybody's got issues. That's a great title to a message. Every one of us has got issues. And you can come and you can say, Brother Brandon, you just beat the same horse over and over. And I'm not preaching tonight a message on your problems or your needs. You don't have to tell me. You say, Brother Brandon, sometimes we do prayer requests down there. And some weeks, everybody that down there got something to pray for. And some weeks, like crickets, they ain't got none of them. But can I tell you, every one of those young people, there's something going on in their life that they need God to help them with. There's somebody waiting at home. When they're here, they're joyful. And they go back home, things ain't the same. Things ain't the same. But Brandon, why don't they want to get off the van? Why do they want to be the last one on the van? Can I tell you, this is the highlight of many of them's week, being here on Wednesday night. It is the highlight. It's the highlight of my week. Josiah, he loves coming. Y'all pray for him. He ain't saved yet. And we come to revival. We come to revival one night, and I say, get in the car. We're going back to church. He says vividly, we just went last night. Why are we going back again last night? So, and every time we get in the car, he says, is the only thing he says is it fellowship all night. He just comes good down there to eat in the fellowship hall. Y'all pray for him. He ain't real spiritual, but he's honest. He said, we're going to the fellowship hall. And if I say no, man, it just deflates him. He ain't in the service. He's out. But if there's Cheetos or chips involved, he's in. And that's just what he wants to do right now. So you pray for him. Don't ever let him know where the communion stuff is. He'll clean us out. But I'm just saying, listen, you gotta know. But he is the comforter. He is there. Wherever you need him, he's there. Got to tell you, Brother Harold, tomorrow you're going to need him in a different area in your life than I'm going to need him. You're going to need him somewhere. I don't know where you're going tomorrow. You may be going to Washington, D.C., but more than likely, you're going to start your day off of Union Hill Road. I'm going to come past your driveway, and I'm going to go to Stokes Tire, unless one of y'all bail me out and pay for everything I got, and then I won't go. But if you, right now, I'm planning on going. As of this moment, I got to go. Miss Mary needs a water pump tomorrow. I got to take her car. But after that, you can pay it off, and I'll quit after I fix her car. But you're going to need him in East Bend tomorrow. Brother Dalton, you need to stay home and watch them people in my yard digging holes, make sure they don't steal nothing. Duke Energy is making a mess in my yard, so he's going to need the Lord in his house. Brother Kevin, you're going to need the Lord in Moxville. I'm going to need the Lord in Stokes County. Kids, you're going to need the Lord at Forbush and Starmount. Definitely if you go to Starmount. You're going to need the Lord. you're going to need God in your life. Can I tell you that I wouldn't be worth my salt tonight if I wouldn't remind you and encourage you that He is the comforter that every one of us needs, no matter where we are in your life. There's people laying in the hospital, Brother Dalton, that I can't go see tomorrow. He's already there. There's people tonight that's on this prayer list that I can't go hold everybody's hands and pray and say, God, we're going to get through this. But He's there. Say, Brother Brandon, why did God say this? Why did He erase all confusion when He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased? Say, Brother Brandon, that's prideful. No, that's God the Father looking at God the Son and saying He is everything He said He was. He is the great comforter. He is there when you need Him. And fourthly and lastly, not only is He the very Son of God, not only is He the perfect, sinless, and spotless sacrifice, not only is He the great comforter, but lastly, can I encourage you with this? He is the returning Savior. He is. And I know what took place the other day, and you said, man, everybody's going nuts. Is the Lord coming back when the eclipse happens? Is this happening? I said, man, I don't know. Listen to this. I said, I'm ready to go regardless, eclipse or not. You know, eclipse used to be a Mitsubishi. It's the only thing I knew. It made a car. But other than that, I said, man, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I said, man, it happened in 2017. He didn't come back then. I said, I don't know. But either way, you ought to be ready regardless, just in case. I mean, listen, I ain't on the bandwagon, but it'd been a good time to go soul winning and start shouting, He's coming back today at 3 o'clock, so get saved now. Whatever it takes, get them in. But I understand this, I'm not running the streets tonight. But can I tell you, as I've said before, many people have given up hope and fallen off the wagon because they said for years, I've heard that He's coming. Can I tell you, there's coming a day that He's coming. He is. Brother Brandon, are you ready for that? Man, I've got two boys. I want to see Jonathan do great things. I've got juniors coming up this year that I want to see God do great things. I want to see them explode and not only accept God at a young age, but some of them boys coming up, like Kevin, they could change our church for the next 30 years. I want to see all of that. But if God were to come back tonight, can I tell you from the pulpit, there'd be a pile of clothes here and whoever's left, hopefully nobody, y'all can fight over them because I will not be here. But you better rest assured, Brother Brandon, I don't know if it's true or not. Can I tell you, God said He is the Son of God, and I'm telling you, He is the returning Savior. John 14, 1 through 3, Miss Caitlin's coming. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And notice this. This is not some teacher. This is not someone making a false promise. But in verse number 3, the very Son of God, the great sacrifice, the great comforter. He says, and if I go, I will prepare a place and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I got a lot of loved ones in heaven. I got a grandma recently that I was there, Brother Dalton. I got to hear her tell me, just preach the word. Trust God. He'll never let you down. And she's in heaven. Brother Brandon, you going to go see her and talk to her? I don't know. But I do know this. I'm going. By gentry or by the rapture, I'm going. Can I tell you, say, Brother Brandon, what's going to happen? He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. I heard Brother Bruce Freeman say the other day at that funeral, but you standing there, he said the graveyard is going to be a happening place at the rapture. Why? Because the dead in Christ shall rise when? First. Now, if I'm saved and I'm there, talk about a few seconds of shock and chaos, but it's a reality. You could be standing in the graveyard behind this church, and I'm not preaching some false doctrine. The Bible said the dead in Christ will rise first, and thee which will alive and remain shall be caught up with them. Meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What scares me, Brother Mike, is not that I'm going. Somebody asked me the other day, are you worried about the eclipse? I said, no, I ain't worried about the eclipse. I ain't looking at it, but I ain't worried about it. I ain't staring at it, but I ain't worried about it. Are you worried about this? Somebody asked me, what's the dimensions of the lake of fire? Why does it matter? I don't want to go. I don't want you to go. It's way too big. It should have been just created for Satan and his angels. But the millions that'll be there, Miss Linda, is there by their own accord, not by our Savior. But what scares me to death, and you youngins riding the van, listen to me. There's coming a day that those vans ain't coming to your house. There's coming to a day there won't be a preacher in this pulpit. There's coming a day the church doors may be open, but there won't be no service here. He is the very Son of God. He is the great sacrifice. He is the great comforter. But most importantly, and the reason that I'm sitting here tonight is because I believe with all my heart, He is the coming Savior. Now, tomorrow, you're going to live, more than likely, at some point in your life or day, in a Matthew chapter number 4, where you want to fall back and say, if you are the Son of God, if you are who you say you are. But can I encourage you tonight, maybe for the next 3 hours, I hope for the next week, I hope until Sunday, and God blows through here again like He did last week. Let's live chapter number 3, verse number 17, and know that He is who He said He is. We're standing tonight. Miss Caitlin's going to sing a verse, this, if she don't mind. Can I encourage you tonight, Brother Brandon, we already know all of that. Can I remind you, I'm just thankful He is who He said He is. I'm thankful He's going to do what He said He's going to do. And I encourage you tonight, if you don't know Him, you come find us. We'll be glad to take the Bible and show you how you can know. Every head bowed and every eye closed. The altars are open. You listen as she sings.
Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation, they prepare for retirement, they seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday, for the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God. Romans 3:23 said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You must understand that your good words and good works and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4, in verse number 12, they said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You might ask the question, preacher, how can I be saved? That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask Him to save you. You might say, preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me? But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." If God draws you by conviction, if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked Him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, "There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.